Welcome to the Voices of Women Physicians podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Tatiana Resnik, a practicing physician and a certified life coach. You will hear about inspirational journeys and practical tips from amazing women physician experts, as well as effective coaching and steps in your process. In this episode, we will listen to the second part of our interview. And please listen to the first part in our last week's episode. And now let's talk about difficulty with waking up at night. Like when you can fall asleep, but then you wake up and then you have difficulty staying asleep.
So I like to break that down, right? You can see all these decision trees in my mind. Are you waking up for a pathologic reason? Meaning, do you have pain? Are you on your back and your spine hurts? Are you on your shoulder? You need a toss and turn? Could you have untreated obstructive sleep apnea, which rates double to triple as we go through perimenopause and menopause and also aging? The muscle tone is relaxing more, and so your tongue's falling back and that's waking you up. Sometimes women can just get hot. Their body temperature starts to elevate and that can wake you up even without having a hot flash. Because when we sleep, our core body temperature actually lowers, but then right as you lose estrogen, you can start to have dysregulation of your body temperature. A normal part of waking up is we have four stages of sleep, 1, 2, 3, and REM. The more cycles we go through, they go through about every 90 minutes, the less sleepy we are. It also goes back to that sleep drive, right? The longer you're awake, the sleepier you get. The more you sleep, the less sleepy you are. And some people are very quite attuned to this, meaning after about 5-6 hours of sleep, they really have a hard time falling back asleep, right? It's almost like you filled your tank, your battery half full, 60%. You can still go on your phone, you can still text, watch a show, but probably not as optimized as at 100%. The thing about this is I think we're also one of these acculturated in our society. If you're awake in the middle of the night, something must be wrong with you. And so I have a good friend who's a psychiatrist and also a sleep doctor, but she's of Indian descent. And she taught me that if you wake up in the middle of the night in India, it's like 2 to 3 a.m. That's when you do your yoga nidra breathing, because it's the stillness of the night. You start meditating. Versus in the U.S., it's like, oh no, what's wrong with me? Is my sugar dropping? Do I need to see a doctor? Do I need to take something? Right? So I think it's just, we have a different approach to that. So to answer your question, is this a pathologic reason? Is there something that needs to be treated, or our sleep does fragment in as we get older? And sometimes it's age-related. If you are able to listen to a meditation, calm yourself down, slow down your brain waves, you can fall back asleep, you can feel better, and you can fall asleep faster for sure.
Oh, sometimes people wake up just to use restroom for some simple reasons.
Yeah, exactly. That actually happens to me if I'm not too careful about what I eat for dinner, especially if we go out to eat and the food is so salty and I'm drinking so much more water, and that will wake me up. I'm just so salty, I drink water and I have to go pee. And so yeah, your lifestyle can impact your sleep quality as well.
And speaking about food, anything what you would recommend regarding food so to promote a better sleep?
Yeah, I love this question too. So smaller studies, but it's so interesting because if you take a look at what's good and nourishing for your brain health, for your heart health, is also good for your sleep health. And so some of the research shows that avoiding highly processed foods is good, right? You don't want those simple carbohydrates because that's associated with maybe more insulin spikes and more arousals and less deep sleep. And also avoiding saturated fats from animal products, right? Those nuts are healthy, avocados, things that come from the earth are really better for your body because it also promotes better sleep quality. And also they have a lot of natural things that can help promote sleep. So tart cherry juice has magnesium and maybe some melatonin in it. Kiwi fruit, there was a study done in, I believe it was Taiwan, that gave women and nurses like 2 kiwi fruits to eat an hour before their bedtime. And they actually showed they can fall asleep faster and had better sleep quality, which is really cool.
That's cool, yes.
So avoiding, right, things that we know, the processed food, and then too much animal products at night.
It's perfect, especially kiwi one. It's delicious. It's awesome. And let's talk a little bit about various myths and misconceptions about sleep.
Ooh, where do we begin? Okay, so I think we briefly talked about the first one, the 8-hour sleep myth. There's another one that's been floating around. It's women need less sleep than men. I think that's so funny. So going back to that review article that I talked about with over 4 million people, women actually just need the same amount of sleep as men. We tend to get less sleep. There was a study that I reviewed from more early 2000s that showed on average, women got 11 minutes benefits less. And it's typically because we were doing more caregiving. But from a health standpoint, women still need the same amount of sleep. Another one too is as we get older, we need less sleep. For adults, it's still recommended at least 7. I think just as we get older, we get less sleep, right? We have more health issues, right? We're on medications that can disrupt our sleep. We have a lot of maybe arthritis or pain that disrupt our sleep. We can have sleep apnea issues that can disrupt our sleep. So we still need, I would say technically at least 7, but if you have a really busy life and job and you can only get at least 6, I would say that's good enough. Anything less than 6 isn't helpful. I think another thing to think about is sometimes patients ask me, especially the insomnia ones, that I have to take something or use something to be able to fall asleep. I had a gal that I was talking to recently that just bought a bunch of different products online and still really had a hard time with her insomnia. And she was almost a little bit embarrassed to admit all the things that she's purchased. And I let her know that cognitive behavioral therapy, which is one of the best treatment options for insomnia, is based on the way you think about sleep and some lifestyle things and improving relaxation. So you actually don't need a pill or a supplement or a gadget to help you sleep. If they do work, then that's one thing. But I would say in my medical practice, I tend to see people who are a little bit more severe in their insomnia, and they've tried all the sleeping pills, all the supplements, alcohol, cannabis, you name it, and still can't sleep. So it's not a deficiency of your sort of brain chemistry for some folks. But yeah, you can train your brain health to sleep without relying on it. But at the same time too, I want to say, because sometimes I can be a little bit more strict on no sleeping pills, but really there are some populations I would say, like people who have nostalgia or people who have chronic pain or pretty bad depression, anxiety, I would say those populations certainly can benefit from a sleeping pill, because if you don't get good sleep, then the other comorbidities can actually get worse.
Yes. And speaking about supplements, are there any supplements at all with scientific proven benefits for sleep?
I would say yes. And depending on the level of evidence that one would think is proven, right? Because there's different qualities. It's hard to get really good randomized controlled trials for supplements because they don't have the billions and billions of dollars that other folks have. But yeah, actually I work with a company and we created a menopause supplement. I was more on their advisory board to help for especially women. As women get older, men too, over the age of 55, there's a thought that we have decreased release of melatonin from our pineal gland. So melatonin may or may help. For menopausal women, it was shown to help in those who had insomnia, but not necessarily those who didn't have insomnia. Magnesium may be beneficial as well. I know it's pretty benign, honestly, to use, especially if you use the ones that aren't too diarrheagenic, glycinate or threonate. I think glycinate can cross the blood-brain barrier a little bit better. Certainly, we use it in clinical sleep medicine for those who have like restless leg syndrome. L-theanine is becoming more popular. It's an extract for green tea. It has some anxiolytic effects. Valerian root is something as well. So valerian root is a plant, but it also works on GABA, which is the same thing that benzos and the Z drugs like Ambien, Zolpidem work on. Chamomile, I like recommending chamomile. I just like the tea itself. But there was a good study that looked at the use of chamomile for general anxiety disorder, and it did show improvement. So there are certain natural herbs that can help. But I think at the end of the day, when you take either a supplement or a sleeping pill and it doesn't work, it doesn't mean it's the end of the road. It just means that the way I like to describe it, your brain is so powerful, it's overcoming those chemical changes that maybe you need something else on top of that, right? Those mindset shifts, those behavioral exercises, or just exercises to really reduce the stress. Journaling is one of my favorite things to do. Sometimes we get so stuck in our brain and things just go and go and go. So can you spend 5 minutes a day just jotting down your thoughts? And some people are like, no, that's too much time. So I say 2 minutes. And I've had some folks with ADHD and they're like, no, I can't even focus for 2 minutes. And so I say, okay, 30 seconds. Can you get 30 seconds? They're like, okay, I can do that. But sometimes it's just finding what works with the patient that you're working with, because if they don't have 5 minutes, then they're not going to do it. So small little incremental changes to help.
From integrative medicine standpoint, what is the approximate time frame, the kind of smallest and biggest from your experience, to normalize sleep without medications?
It depends. I can just share some stories of people that I work with. One in particular that we use clinical hypnotherapy. So she was mid to late 60s, had difficulty sleeping for over 20 years that stemmed from, unfortunately, PTSD of event where she was assaulted and just never felt safe. And so working with a psychiatrist for a long time on pretty sedating antidepressant, antipsychotic medications, but still didn't feel quite right. Felt like the quality of her sleep was really affected. And so I saw saw her for initial consult, typically it's more of just like a meet and greet, trying to figure out what was working, offer different options like cognitive behavioral therapy, mindfulness-based therapy for insomnia, clinical hypnotherapy, and sometimes I add self-compassion therapy, just really depending on what someone's interested in doing. She decided to do clinical hypnotherapy for our next session. There's an intake form where I love it because we walk someone through their perfect day. And I always say there's no financial restrictions, time restrictions. You can go in the past, you can go in the future. People who are no longer with us can be with you. And so we just come up with your perfect day. The way clinical hypnotherapy works is you guide someone into a trance, which is really just a mind state where your brain waves are really, really slow. I like to call this state sort of like when my kids are watching TV and they're in the zone and I'm like, hey, drink some water, drink some water. And I have to say it five times before they acknowledge me. It's not that they're really ignoring you, is that their brain is so focused. You're in a heightened state of focused awareness. And then in that state, you add really just positive psychology. We call it post-hypnotic suggestions. You're a great sleeper. You can go to sleep anytime you want. Once your head hits the pillow, you're feeling drowsy, things like that. And so we walked her through just her perfect day. And then that was it. She tolerated well. We recorded it. She listened to it. And I saw her, I think, a month later. Typically, I like to do every 2 weeks, but I think my schedule was busy. And then it was like almost shocking because I thought, oh man, she's had insomnia for so long. I don't know if this is going to work. She said 2 weeks after, she was already sleeping 8 hours. She was still on the medication, but she was decreasing her dose. I was like, what? I was like surprised. And that was it. And then I didn't see her anymore. So, I mean, I'm assuming she's still doing well. Otherwise, she would have came back. And so I would say that's probably one of the most powerful stories for clinical hypnotherapy.
I love it.
It doesn't work for everybody. But then I asked, like, what do you think helped you the most? And she's like, you gave me hope that I wasn't broken, that I could actually sleep again. And she just needed to have that belief. And it was just like, I implanted that belief, or she really took away with it. And then what really works is when you listen to that recording over and over again, even though you're asleep, right, your eardrums can still be vibrating. And so it goes down into your subconscious mind, right? You're growing new neural networks. You bought something was wrong with you for the past 20 years and your medications just weren't helping. But it's like, no, your brain can actually figure out how to sleep again.
This is wonderful.
It was pretty cool to witness that. Yeah.
Anything else that you would like to mention or to recommend? Any particular tips, especially for sleep and menopause?
Yeah, I would say ladies prioritize sleep. I know that maybe sounds like you have so many things on your plate, but adding something else, I'm like, when you get better sleep, guess what? You can be more present with your family, right? Your cognitive functions work better. When I don't get good sleep, it takes me longer just to read simple things, maybe finish my note. Things are just a lot more fuzzy. And so sleep is free and it really enhances like all aspects of your life. One of my favorite things to talk about too, especially for women who are trying to lose weight, which happens as we go through perimenopause and menopause, we have less growth hormone. When you're tired and you see that drive through, it's almost like an automatic, like a magnet that pulls you in versus if you get good sleep, right? You can go to the grocery store, you can plan a meal, you can cook a meal, you can clean up all the energy it takes. And honestly, sometimes it just takes an extra 30 minutes of sleep to be able to get to that point where you have enough energy to really make the healthy choices. So start with sleep and then you can make better health choices for your body, for nourishing your food and even exercise. So my patients are like, oh man, Dr. Cacho, I don't have an excuse not to go to the gym anymore because I'm not tired. And I said, all right, you said it, but we start with sleep. And I'm also biased because I'm a sleep doctor. So prioritize sleep. It makes your life a lot better.
This is so helpful. And can you tell us a little bit about how our listeners can connect with you and what exactly you can help?
Yeah, so I have an online educational platform called Sleepforia. It's sleep and then H-O-R-I-A, where I do a lot of YouTube videos. And it's really born out of, there are so many women who have difficulty sleeping and there's not a lot of good health education out there. So I have YouTube videos in and around that. And I also have just created within the last month, a free membership. And so what that includes is I do live visits where I do Q&As and it's all health education. I can't give any specific medical advice unless someone is in Hawaii or in California where they can see me. Our mission really is to help women overcome exhaustion and live a really fulfilling life by getting better sleep. So thank you so much, Dr. Resnick, for having me here.
Thank you so much for coming and for sharing your experience. It was wonderful.
Thank you. Sleep well, everyone.
Thank you for listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed it or found it helpful, please subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. Have any topics you'd like covered? Send me an email at joyfulsuccessliving@gmail.com. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram to connect at Joyful Success Living. Have an amazing week. See you next time. The Voices of Women Physicians podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not provide any medical, financial, tax, legal, or psychological services or advice. You are responsible for your own well-being, decisions, and results. Dr. Resnick is a practicing physician, but Voices of Women Physicians podcast is not reflective of the opinion of her employer. You should always contact a professional if you have any specific questions about your unique situation.